God's grace to you and His peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke. As Jesus sends out the 72, and the 72 were probably those followers who were hanging around with Jesus. Jesus had more followers than just the 12 apostles who we usually can identify with those following Jesus. At one time, He even had lots of people even following Him, even thousands. But that also, that changed as Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And some of them started leaving away. But at this point in Jesus, in His ministry here, He has 72, at least 72 following Him, and He sends them out. He sends them out into the towns to proclaim a certain message. The message that the kingdom of God is near. In one essence, that's the same message that today's church also proclaims: the kingdom of God is near. We know that kingdom of God to be near as far as the person work of Jesus Christ. The scriptures reveal to us that yes, He is our Savior. He is the one who has come to redeem humanity. The title of this message is True Peace, because that is what Jesus was trying to accomplish and did accomplish. True peace. Now, in today's world, when we think about peace, we usually think about conflicts between nations, or conflicts within a nation, or conflicts within our communities, within our households, even maybe conflicts within us. We think of those conflicts, and every time we turn around, we see more conflicts, and we may be asking ourselves, if this is the world around us, when will peace ever occur? Well, true peace will not occur until the kingdom of God is not only near, but comes back again. True peace will occur again when our Lord and Savior comes back to take us to be with Him in heaven above. All who believe in His death and resurrection will be with Him in heaven. Then we will see true peace. But while we're still on this side of eternity, we won't be seeing true peace. There will be wars. There'll be conflicts between nations, conflicts between families, and conflicts even within ourselves. So where do we go from here? Well, let's take a look at the message that the disciples, the 72, were taught. First of all, after Jesus appointed them, He set them apart. The church also does the same thing. In taking workers who have trained for the office of the public ministry and have set them apart and said, "We're going to have you to be our pastor." They are now called by the congregation. Our Lord also sets apart these 72 for a particular task. What was the task? Beginning with verse 2. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I am sending you." So our Lord and Savior sends us out. He sent out the 72. He also sends us out. Now the next few words may catch you a little bit by surprise in our text. He is sending you out like lambs among wolves. Very quickly, as we enter the sanctuary, we probably noticed the stained glass behind the altar. The picture of Jesus being the great shepherd of the sheep, tending the sheep, keeping the sheep. Now, even by Jesus' own words here, He's saying, "Guess what, sheep? I'm now sending you away from Me. I'm sending you out into the world, and I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." This may even beg the question within us, where is our good shepherd? Would a good shepherd send lambs away from Him into where the wolves live? It sounds almost just the opposite of what the good shepherd would do. Well, let's read on in our text. He says, "Do not take a purse or bag or sandals or greet anyone on the road." Let me take the last part first here. Typically, as you would be traveling from town to town, if you saw someone traveling the same direction, you would usually catch up with them, greet them, and your greeting would usually go like this: "Peace be with you." That was the typical greeting. And then you would usually talk for a while, and then if someone lived in that next town up ahead, you'd probably continue and be invited to their house, maybe stay for dinner. It was a very much more social and open environment than in today's world. So to be rude to somebody, to ignore somebody, just to pass by them, we do that all the time on a daily basis, and we don't think anything of it. But back during the time of Jesus, this would be exceptionally rude. But Jesus has a task for them to do. That task is to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Don't get sidetracked from that task. Don't let the social activities sidetrack you. Ignore people in one essence. Don't greet them on the road, because you'll get sidetracked. Go to that town. And that was the command of the Lord, and proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Notice Jesus also says, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals. The reason why is he wants these 72 to trust that, yes, the Lord is going to take care of them. And that trust is sometimes very difficult for us to do. Do we trust that the Lord will take care of us? Not that I'm advocating that we take all our possessions and sell them and get rid of them, because I don't think that's exactly what verse 4 has as an implication for us. But do we trust the Lord? Because now let me unpack verse 4 a little bit more. Why did Jesus say, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals? Well, obviously they could be robbed or stolen from them. But now let me put it into another way. Let me just rephrase the purse being money, the bag or sandals being possessions, and greeting anyone along the road being friendships. How many times in our own lives do our money, our possessions, or even our friendships sidetrack us from proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near? If we truly take a good look at our lives, we will see that, yes, we have been sidetracked. Our sinful nature creeps in again and says, guess what? I'd rather get attached by these things. I'd rather be consumed by these things. Our Lord and Savior knows where true peace comes from. He's the one who brings it. This is the message He brings. The kingdom of God is near. But we often get sidetracked. Why? Because these little things like money and possessions and friendships, they feel good from time to time. They give us that little warm fuzzy. We like to acquire them. We like to have them. We have control of our environment with them. We feel good about ourselves. We think that by them we can find peace. But true peace doesn't come from our money, our possessions, or our relationships. True peace only comes from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, He asked the 72 not to take them. He didn't want them to be distracted. Now the question I have to ask you, how often in your own lives are you distracted by these things? Well, let's continue on with our text. Verse 5, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. The very first words out of their mouth was going to be peace. The same peace that God had given them, they are now sharing with the household that they were invited to. He says, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. And don't go moving from house to house. Eat what's set before you. Okay? Don't sit there and wander and singing, which house is better now? No, that's being distracted. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick. And if you're not welcome, then wipe the dust off your feet and go on. He who listens to me, Jesus says, listens to you, listens to me, and he who rejects you, rejects me, in verse 16. The 72 finally returned to Jesus with joy, and they were surprised that even while they were healing people, that demons were being driven out of them, and they were answering, they were listening to the 72. The 72 had power. And notice what Jesus does with that statement. First of all, he reaffirms that, yes, He has power, Jesus has power, and He gave it to the disciples. He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven and has given them the power to trample on snakes, scorpions, and the like. Nothing will harm you. Again, that trust relationship. But verse 20, don't get sidetracked in it. Even power corrupts people. Don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I have to ask you, what causes you to rejoice? Is it the fact that your names are written in heaven? Or is it going back to verse 4? The accumulation of wealth, possessions, and friendships. What's the most important thing to you in your life right now? Is it the things surrounding you? Or is it the spirit that resides within you? Now let me pick up on the concept that the kingdom of God is near. What was Jesus referring to? Plain and simply, to himself. He was there to finish restoring salvation to humanity. Ever since Adam and Eve first sinned, humanity had sin in and of itself. We live in a sinful world. We can identify with being like lambs being sent out amongst the wolves. But we're not sent out like amongst the wolves without hope. Do we not remember that once we were baptized, God's name was placed upon us? The Holy Spirit resides now in our hearts. We do not go out alone, but we now go out spirit-filled. We have the Spirit within us. Unfortunately, since we're still on this side of heaven, our sinful nature is still there. And there's even a struggle between and within us. So what do we do with that struggle? Do we get attached to the things of this world? Or do we get attached to the things of God, where true peace resides? Again, the temptation is there because the things of this world do bring about a certain aspect of happiness. If you get a brand new car, it's kind of shiny, it's kind of new. People look, they're attracted, going, wow, isn't that great and wonderful? If you win the lottery, of course, you get millions of dollars, depending on how big the jackpot is. And people get excited. If you have all the friends in the world and you are the most popular person, you begin to start feeling good about yourself. But how long does that goodness last? Cars, unfortunately, get totaled. Money can be stolen or lost or spent. And friendships, even unfortunately amongst Christian friendships, can quickly fall apart. What lasts forever? The same message that Jesus told the 72 to proclaim. The kingdom of God is near. The person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what he accomplished on the cross, our salvation is permanent. As Christians, we say that the Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. Is that not enough for us? Or do we sometimes feel like little lambs in a world filled with wolves surrounding us, trying to devour us, trying to bite us, trying to gnaw on us, trying to consume us? Is it too much for us? Sometimes we may think, yes, Lord, it is too much for us. But notice, the 72, they were sent without a purse or bag or sandals, without any extra friends. They were just sent out because the Lord sent them out. They trusted in the Lord, the one who brings true peace, the one who provides. They came back rejoicing. Notice in our text, it doesn't say that Jesus lost any. No. It didn't say that they failed. No. They rejoiced because, yes, why even the demons submit to us in your names? And Jesus, trying to make sure that they didn't fall astray by that wonderful power, basically said, don't rejoice in that wonderful power. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Again, what causes us to rejoice? Is it the fact that our names are written in the book of heaven? Or is it all the things around us? Unfortunately, in our world today, if you take a look at what's really at the center of a lot of conflicts, it can be summarized really clearly. Money, possessions, friendships, power, all these things that our text speaks about. And Jesus saying, that isn't the thing to be fighting about. What should we be concerned about? That your names are written in heaven. That's where true peace is. So if we take a look at our lives, and it's probably true for even all of us, we look in the mirror and do we see true peace? The answer is no. We see even within us a war going on. Do we see peace in our families? No. We see families in conflict. We see communities in conflict, our nation in conflict, and the world in conflict. Yes, our world needs a Savior. They need to hear the same message that Jesus gave to the 72, that the kingdom of God is near. True peace comes from Jesus Christ alone. Again, this may not be very logical, and that's why wars still exist. But we believe this by faith, because the Holy Spirit has worked that faith in our hearts. It is through that faith we have the grace and the gift and the gospel that comes from Jesus alone. That yes, our sins are forgiven. Because at the times, we may be the ones starting the conflicts. We may be the ones starting the wars. And so we go to our Lord and Savior today and we say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for being too attached to the things of this world and not being attached to the things that you provide, true peace and eternal life. We ask the Lord for forgiveness and strength as He is with us each and every day. In one essence, yes, we are sent out there like lambs among the wolves, but lambs that now bear the Holy Spirit, God within us. We are not sent out alone, but we are sent out with the authority and power of God. What is our task as Christians? To proclaim the kingdom of God is near, to share that love with one another, not our envy, not our jealousy, not our consuming nature, but the new nature that we have been given through holy baptism, the nature of Christ, that Holy Spirit, one of love, peace, and forgiveness. That is the task of the church, and in one essence, that's our individual tasks, to go out in a world that's filled with wolves and to share the love of Christ. Is it easy to do? No. But our Lord says, I will be with you always. I will strengthen you. I will give you a power. So who do we trust? Do we trust in the one who brings true peace? Or do we trust in our own selves? That's our dilemma. I hope and pray that as we continue our growth in studying God's Word and develop a stronger trust relationship with Him, we are even more assured that, yes, our Lord and Savior is with us no matter where we go. There to strengthen us, there to encourage us, there to see that the kingdom of God goes. And it's our message to tell the world that, yes, the kingdom of God is near. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.